Title of this sermon is Blacking Out While Drunk, and I want to begin in verse number 30 of Genesis 19. Blacking out while drunk. The Bible reads in verse number 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not, notice this, he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Now, these two girls that committed this wicked sin, they were raised in a very wicked and ungodly and filthy place. Of course, the city of Sodom, where the men of the city were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And so their minds are so wicked and filthy and depraved and corrupted just from having grown up in that environment and, you know, being down at the Sodom Unified School District, just learning all this trash. And so they commit this horrible sin. But the thing that I want to point out about this story is the fact that Lot was able to commit this horrible act that he never would have committed had he been sober, had he been even awake and knowing what was going on. The reason that he was able to do such a horrific thing was that he was blacked out while drunk. He was so drunk from drinking wine that he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't realize who he was with or what was happening. That's what caused this horrible sin to be able to take place with a man who had some righteousness and would not have done something like this otherwise. Now, this morning in the sermon, I want to talk about the dangers of alcohol and some of the things that the Bible warns us about dealing with alcohol. But let me first start out by explaining that blacking out while drunk is not the same as passing out while drunk. Now, passing out when drunk is another danger of alcohol. You can just completely pass out in the sense that you're unconscious and then you're vulnerable to, you know, whoever would do whatever to you. But in many ways, blacking out is even more perilous. It's even a scarier thought. You know, like I said, passing out has its own perils. I had a coworker and friend of mine that told me, he said, I don't drink. He said, I used to drink until one time I got so drunk that I passed out in the front lawn, and my brother was able to pick me up from the front lawn, take me into the house, take my clothes off, put me in the shower, shower me, take me out of the shower, dry me off, dress me in my pajamas, and put me in the bed, all with me 100% unconscious the whole time. And he knew that I wouldn't believe him, so my brother took a picture of me in the shower just to show me when I woke up that that's how drunk I was. And he said, I have never drunk again, because that scared me. That horrified me. But if you are smart today, you will not have to go through that type of experience to realize how dangerous it can be to drink alcohol. And you children and teenagers and young people, you don't need to go out and experience this for yourself. You just need to understand the danger and understand what the Bible is warning us about in this scripture and in many other scriptures. He was completely passed out. Thank God he was with a loved one. Thank God he was with his brother that took care of him and put him to bed. What if he would have been with some other wicked or ungodly person? All the bad things that could have happened. But that's passing out. When we talk about blacking out while drinking, we are talking about people who get into a state of mind where their brain ceases to function properly, specifically a part of their brain known as the hippocampus. It's called that because that is the Greek word for seahorse. And this is a part of the brain that is shaped like a seahorse, and it has to do with your spatial recognition of, you know, where you are in three dimensions of space. but it also has a role of creating memories. So this part of your brain creates memories. First, you start out by having things in what is called your immediate memory, meaning what just happened 5 seconds ago, 30 seconds ago, 1 minute ago. Then things move from the immediate memory into the short-term memory, and then they go from short-term memory, if they're important enough, into long-term memory. But when a person consumes alcohol rapidly, they often enter a state known as blackout, where they stop making memories. So when people talk about having forgotten what happened the night before, I don't remember what I did when I was drunk. I don't remember what happened. You know, it's just sort of a blackout. I remember getting in the car and then, you know, next thing I knew I was here or there or wherever. It's not that they've forgotten. They actually have not forgotten anything. It's that the memory never even existed in the first place. The part of their brain that makes memories turned off. And so it's not that they had a memory that they forgot. It's that there never was a memory in the first place. Their brain, that part of their brain, just completely shut off. When a person's short-term memory or immediate memory are not working properly, that person will do all kinds of strange things because they don't even understand the situation they're in. They don't even know where they are necessarily or who they're with because they can't even remember 5 minutes ago. They're just living in the moment, almost like living in a dream or something, and they do all kinds of strange, bizarre things that they have no memory of the next day. That's a pretty scary thought. This is not just what people could do to you. This is what you could do to other people, to harm people or property or whatever else. Let me give you some statistics on this because you say, well, Pastor Anderson, this blackout, and I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands for those who've experienced blackout, but you say, well, Pastor Anderson, this phenomenon of blackout while being drunk, maybe it's just a rare phenomenon. It sounds like something strange or obscure that you might hear about. But actually, there was a study done at Duke University just amongst those who drink at all, who ever drink or ever have drunk. 51% of those students reported that they had had at least one blackout. More than half of those who drank any amount of alcohol at this university said that they had experienced at least one blackout. Blackouts were reported during activities such as spending money, 27%. Sexual conduct, 24%. Meaning that they did these activities having no understanding of what they were doing, their mind completely turned off, and the next day they had no recollection of doing these things. Spending money, committing fornication, fighting, vandalism. Fighting was 16%. Vandalism, 16%. Unprotected fornication, 6%. Driving a car, 3%. Just totally blacked out. So these people are still able to function. They're able to do things, but they don't realize what they're doing and they have no recollection the next day of what they're doing. Of 545 individuals in another study, 161 of these 545 individuals, which is 29.5%, reported driving drunk. 139 of them, 25%, reported a regretted sexual situation. One-fourth. Or 60 of these 545 individuals reported having damaged property. 55 of them, 10%, reported getting into a physical fight. And 29, or 5.3%, reported injuring someone while under the influence of alcohol in the past 6 months. This is pretty serious. This is a scary thought, and it's very common. Go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 9. We saw the horrible story in Genesis 19 where Lot was blacked out. He'd drunken to the point where he had no clue what he was doing or what was going on. In that story, there's a similar story in Genesis chapter 9. I have a personal friend that told me, he said, back in the days when I was living a life of sin, he said, I got so drunk one time that I completely blacked out. And he said, when I came to my senses, because often when people are blacked out like this, they'll come to their senses while still awake. Sometimes they don't come to their senses until they're already asleep. So that's how the blackout ends, with sleeping. But often they can come back to their senses while they're still awake. And this friend of mine was totally blacked out, drunk. And when he came to his senses, he was walking down the street with three stolen VCRs in his arms that he had broken into a store and taken these VCRs. He's walking down the street with three VCRs and a police officer is following him, ready to arrest him. And he's arrested for breaking, entering, stealing. Had no recollection, no clue that he did such a thing, but he did. He was with other people that were engaged in the same activity. They were probably the ones who instigated the activity, but because he was blacked out drunk, he just went right along with it and did that. Now, Genesis chapter 9 is the first mention of alcohol in the Bible. Genesis 19, the story I showed you with Lot, is the second mention of alcohol. So when you start reading the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, God is right away sending you a strong warning about the effects that alcohol can have. Look at Genesis 9, verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered, meaning that he was nude, within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. So while it was happening, he did not know what was happening. He did not understand what was taking place until he awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, there's much debate about what exactly took place in this story. I don't know exactly what took place in this story. I don't want to know exactly what took place in this story. But I will tell you one thing for certain. It was something queer that took place in this story. Yeah. Ham was some kind of a pervert. He was some kind of a, you know, it wasn't just a matter of just he saw him naked. One man seeing another man naked wouldn't be this big of a deal for the Bible to pronounce all of these curses. And often throughout the Bible, the term uncovering the nakedness or looking upon the nakedness is a euphemism for something much more than that. For example, today we would talk about one person sleeping with another. That, you know, we're not talking about sleep. That is a euphemism. Right. And the Bible will say lie with. They're obviously not just lying side by side. The Bible will say, you know, looking upon the nakedness, it's not just a looking that's taking place. We don't know exactly what took place in this story. Thank God the details are spared. But something wicked, something perverse, something disgusting happened to Noah. Why? It happened because he was drunk, and it never would have happened had he not been drunk. It was only the fact that he had drunk wine and become drunk and blacked out, or possibly in this story, passed out. Either way, he was taken advantage of in a disgusting way. The Bible talks about this as well in Habakkuk chapter 2. You go ahead and turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, right in the middle of the Bible, is the book of Psalms. Right after that is Proverbs. While you're turning to Proverbs, I'll read for you from Habakkuk chapter 2, which is a scripture that goes hand in hand with Genesis 9. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. The Bible says here, woe unto him, male pronoun, that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Habakkuk 2:15 is a scripture that talks about a man that would get another man drunk in order to defile him in the most disgusting way imaginable. This is the MO. This is the modus operandi of the sodomites. Right. to use alcohol, to use drugs, to get people blacked out or passed out, that they might molest them and take advantage of them. And this is why, in a perilous time like 2016 America, you have to be a fool to go out drinking. You have to be a fool to go to a party and get drunk. You have to be a fool to even look on the wine when it's red and gives its color in the cup and moves itself aright. It's 2016, it's America. And if thousands of years ago, when Habakkuk the prophet preached and said, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink," if this was going on back then, I promise you it's going on now much more often than it was back then in the days of Habakkuk the prophet. There's an association here in Genesis 9, Habakkuk 2. It's again mentioned in Lamentations 4:21. "Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, that dwellest in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shalt make thyself naked," the Bible says. Proverbs 23, verse 29. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes?" You know, why don't they turn this into a Budweiser commercial? Yeah. Why don't they do this into a beer ad that says, "Hey, would you like to have woe? Would you like sorrow, contentions, babbling, wounds without cause, redness of eyes? This can all be yours. This Bud's for you." You know, Anheuser-Busch, 2016. "Please drink responsibly." I mean, why don't they make a beer ad like this? Instead, the beer ad shows a bunch of brawny guys and a bunch of bikini babes, and they're all having fun, and they're partying, and they're laughing, and they're having a good time. They don't show the man who's drunk and blacked out being perverted. They don't show the woman who's blacked out, passed out, drunk, being taken advantage of. They don't show the redness of eyes. They don't show the wounds without cause. They don't show men picking a fight with other men that they don't even know for reasons that they don't understand, and taking part in fist fights that they will not remember. Waking up in the hospital with a broken nose. Waking up in the hospital with broken knuckles and broken limbs and broken whatever, and being told, "Oh, you started this fight." What? They have no recollection. "Oh, by the way, you're being charged with these crimes that you committed while you were blacked out, drunk." They don't show that on the commercial. Why? Because the devil is a great deceiver that deceives the whole world. Yep. And alcohol is glorified in Hollywood. It's glorified on TV. It's glorified in the media. All of the coolest people drink in the movies, in the TV shows. They drink at breakfast. They drink at lunch. They drink at dinner. And they enjoy themselves. They have a good time, and they're good looking. They don't show the swollen nose that drunkenness will give you. They don't show the beer belly that drunkenness. They show the ripped abs of the guy who just drinks beer, and right? They don't show the liver damage. They don't show the woman who's 40 and looks like she's 60 because she's lived a hard life. Translation, she has drunk a lot of alcohol and destroyed her body. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They've beaten me, and I felt it not." I mean, I woke up, and I have a bloody nose, and I got a black eye. I didn't feel anything. I don't remember anything. "When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." I was reading on a website of recovering alcoholics, and they were all telling their stories about blacking out and the things that they did and the things that happened to them when they were blacked out drunk. And it was many of the same things that we read in the statistics a moment ago. But people told story after story after story, and there were studies done of people who blacked out. And one of the themes that kept coming up over and over again was that when people blacked out, did these terrible things, and woke up the next morning trying to put together the pieces of what happened and trying to figure out what they needed to apologize for and what they needed to fix, that the people almost without fail, virtually 100% of the time, drank on the day that they woke up from the blackout. Because then they're down about having done these things, and then they have another drink. I mean, when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. That's a reality, my friend. The Bible is right on with that. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2. Now, believe it or not, although the scriptures we've looked at dealt with men, because most of the Bible is written from a man's perspective or toward men, women are actually more likely to black out than men, believe it or not. Women black out drinking more often than men do. We don't think of it that way necessarily, but that is the true story. So this is not just a sermon to the young men, but also to the women. Now you say, well, why would women be more likely to black out than men? Well, first of all, because women are more likely to skip meals than men. You know, women are often counting calories and they skip a lot of meals and stuff like that, whereas men are more prone to, you know, eat every single meal and not miss a meal, okay? So because they skip meals, they're more likely to black out. Because what makes a person black out from a physiological standpoint, it's not even just how much alcohol they drink or even what the blood alcohol concentration is. Obviously, those things are relevant. But the main determining factor is how fast they get there. So it's a rapid increase in the blood alcohol level that brings a person into this blackout zone. It's drinking a lot quickly. And on an empty stomach, people get drunk more quickly. Women have more of a tendency to skip meals. They're more likely to go and just drink with no food and get drunk faster, black out sooner. Secondly, women are more likely to black out than men because they tend to drink high alcohol beverages, such as wine or spirits, as opposed to beer. A lot of men go and they drink beer. Well, guess what? Beer has a much lower alcohol concentration than wine does. Beer usually has around 3% alcohol, and wine has somewhere between 12 and 18% alcohol. Dramatically more alcohol in wine than beer. That's why it just blows my mind when you see these Christians who want to justify so-called moderate drinking. They never say, oh, it's okay to drink some beer. They always say, well, it's okay to have a glass of wine. I like to have a few glasses of wine with my dinner. You know, because they justify it because of the fact that it sounds so civilized. You know, beer is for trailer trash. And wine is so sophisticated and civilized. You know what? You can go get wine down at Walgreens for, I think, like a dollar. There's these little cheapo bottles of wine. That's why hobos and homeless people are often known as winos. Why? Because wine is the easiest way for somebody to cheaply get drunk fast. So this idea, but people don't realize that. People think of wine as being a step below beer. Like, oh yeah, wine. That's okay for Christians to do wine, just don't do beer. You know, because after all, Jesus turned water into wine. Because that comes from a stupid understanding of the Bible that doesn't understand the obvious plain fact to anybody who's ever read the Bible cover to cover even one time, that clearly the word wine is used for both juice and wine in the Bible. Yeah. Because the word juice, it was not what was commonly used in 1611 or in the Bible days for that matter to refer to, you know, just fruit juice. It's just wine is both. Yeah. That's why in Proverbs 23, he says, don't look on the wine when, and then he describes a fermented beverage. Right. Don't look on this wine. The wine that would be okay to drink would, of course, be the new wine that's found in the cluster of the grape in Isaiah chapter 65. Obviously, we know that alcoholic beverages do not come in grapes growing on clusters. Okay, that's juice. The word wine is used in the Bible interchangeably. Of course, those false prophets who would try to promote drinking amongst Christians would try to say, well, you're saying that every time the Bible says wine, it means fruit juice. No, that's not true. The word wine can mean any kind of fruit juice. And by the way, not just grape juice. Wine can refer to pomegranate juice, grape juice, any fruit juice, and it can be any level of fermentation or a total lack of fermentation. So when Jesus Christ turned water into wine, he was not producing an alcoholic beverage. He was producing a fresh, healthful beverage that people might enjoy it in righteousness, not that they might black out and commit all kinds of wickedness and sin. I'm not going to go into that in this sermon. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not going to spend time on that. I did a sermon not too long ago called Wine in the Bible, where I prove all that from the Bible. I don't want to spend time on that. I want to focus on blacking out while drunk this morning. I want to focus on the reality here. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time trying to debunk a bunch of effeminate, soft, sissy preaching that promotes a little bit of wine. See, but wine is seen as being more feminine. That's why these queer little sissy preachers love their wine. They love their little wine cellar and their little wine cask and their little wine menu. And they love their Chateau Francais, you know, whatever. Right? So women have it in their mind, oh, drinking wine is feminine and ladylike. You know, not like, you know, knocking back a couple beers, but drinking wine. Oh, we're just drinking wine. You see these bunch of wino women on Facebook showing all their wine. It's just no shame of the fact that they're drunk.
Yeah.
But women are more likely to black out than men through skipping meals, through choosing high alcohol beverages like wine, like spirits, as opposed to beer. And I'm not condoning beer. I think it's all wicked. I've never even tasted beer in my life, and I'm going to go to the grave not tasting beer. Look, we should not drink beer. We should not drink wine. We should not drink spirits. We should not drink any alcoholic beverage at all. We should be totally abstinent. We should be a teetotaler. We should be one who drinks only beverages that will keep us sober. But not only that, women also tend to be smaller on average than men. And because their bodies are smaller, the alcohol takes effect more rapidly, which is what causes the blackout. They tend to be smaller on average than men. They have less water floating around in their bodies. And they have less of an enzyme in the gut that breaks down the alcohol before it's absorbed. So women are more likely to get drunk than men when they drink. Women are more likely to black out, to pass out. And yet women will go out in our gender-bending society that wants everybody to be the same. And they want to basically, you know, I'm going to match these dudes that I'm with drink for drink. Right? If my boyfriend is going to drink three, then I'm going to drink three. If these guys over here can drink, well, I'm going to show them I am woman, hear me roar, I'm a feminist, and I'm going to show them that I can drink just as good as the guys can. And this is why they're more likely to black out. Because their bodies can handle alcohol even less than men. So it says in this article that I was reading, it says, they have less of an enzyme in the gut that breaks down the alcohol before it's absorbed. No more than one drink per day for women and no more than two drinks per day for men is considered drinking in moderation. Considered that by who? By CNN.com. That's what they consider drinking in moderation. If you're a dude and you drink two drinks, or if you're a woman and you drink one drink per day, that's drinking in moderation. But like I said, I'm against drinking in moderation. I'm against drinking, period. I mean, why don't you just gamble in moderation? Just don't get addicted to gambling, but just go to the casino and gamble in moderation. Well, guess what? Every addicted gambler started out by gambling in moderation. They might have even gambled in moderation for years. And then they go off the cliff. Why don't you look at pornography in moderation then? Why don't you take drugs in moderation? Smoke pot in moderation? No, all of these things lead to horrible addictions, and they should be saved. Don't drink in moderation. You start out drinking in moderation, and then you become a drunk. Amen. But you never become a drunk if you never drink in moderation.
That's right.
Drinking in moderation, quote unquote, you're just right there, just one bad day, just one piece of bad news, just one bad companion away from blacking out drunk. Don't even go through that door. Don't play with fire. You will get burned. Don't drink in moderation. Because of those differences, it doesn't take as much alcohol for a typical female to get enough alcohol in the brain to black out. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2, which brings up women drinking. It brings up, in fact, aged women drinking. And by the way, women who are above 50 years old, if they have addictions to things like alcohol and smoking, will probably, statistically, never stop smoking and never stop drinking alcohol. Women have a harder time getting over these type of addictions than men do, number one. And number two, women after age 50, the older they get, the harder they struggle to stop drinking, to stop smoking. You better quit that garbage before it's too late for you, ladies. Because you're going to get to a certain point and it's too late, where your body will be so addicted, your mind will be so addicted that it'll be almost impossible for you to break that addiction. I mean, all things are possible through Christ, which strengthens us, but, you know, still, don't play with fire. Titus chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, that they be sober, amen, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Aged women given to much wine? I mean, you just don't picture grandma getting drunk, but guess what? There are a lot of drunken grandmas out there.
Yeah.
Aged women who are given to much wine. They should not be those things. Instead, they should be teachers of good things. Why? Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. You can't teach the young women to be sober when you're an old lady who's given to much wine. Teach them to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. While you're turning to Isaiah 5, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. What this scripture is saying is that if you don't drink, if you don't have excesses of wine, revelings, and follow after the world to the same excess of riot that they indulge in, they're going to think it's strange, meaning that to the world, this is normal. To the world, drinking's the norm. Partying is the norm to the world. They're going to think it's strange at your job or at your school that you don't run with them to the same excess of riot. And you say, well, it's just excess of wine. Well, okay, well, let's just riot a little bit. Let's just riot a little bit. Because it says just avoid excess of riot. You know, or well, you know, let's just be a little bit naughty, because it says just to abstain from superfluity of naughtiness. You know, this is just a dumb way of reading the Bible,
right.
Of people basically just seeking to justify their sin.
Right.
Just because I'm preaching against drunkenness, just because I'm preaching against being totally blacked out, does that mean that I'm giving you the green light to drink a little bit? No. And when the Bible preaches against drunkenness, excess, blacking out, it's not saying that it's okay to have a little bit. It's just focusing in on the ones who are doing it to excess. Why? Because doing it a little bit leads to doing it to excess. And there's no benefit. Drinking a beer will not bring you one step closer to God. Drinking wine will not bring you closer to your family or God or the truth or the Bible or anything like that.
Right.
Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Let me read you this article from CNN.com. Americans are binge drinking more. Binge drinking is a bigger problem in the United States than previously thought. Adults binge drink more frequently and consume more drinks when they do, according to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, because they say that alcoholism or drunkenness is a disease. Well, if it's a disease, then it's the only disease that's bottled and sold. It's the only disease that the government makes a tax on distributing. It's the only disease that's advertised on television. It's the only disease that you have to be 21 years old to contract. Ursula Bauer, director of the National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, announced the findings during a telebriefing on Tuesday. Excessive alcohol consumption, including binge drinking, accounts for 80,000 deaths in the United States each year, making it the third leading preventable cause of death. Those deaths are typically the result of motor vehicle crashes or violence against others while under the influence. Can you imagine how you'd feel if you hurt someone, harmed someone, killed someone, broke someone's nose, and you were drunk and blacked out and didn't mean to and had no intention of hurting them? And by the way, sometimes that person is your wife. Sometimes that person is your child. Sometimes that person is some close friend or someone that you love. It's not necessarily an enemy. Binge drinking, said Bauer, is defined as consuming four or more drinks on an occasion for women and five or more drinks on an occasion for men. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the girls down at ASU ever drink four drinks? Do they ever get to the level of four drinks? Do you think that ever? Of course, it's happening constantly. It's happening. It's called binge drinking. Or men that would drink five drinks. That's five beers. Five whatever. And they're a binge drinker, according to this definition. The new numbers from the CDC's January Vital Signs report reveal that one in six adults in the United States binge drink. Did you hear that? One out of six people. You say, why are you preaching on that? Come on, Pastor Anderson. You know everybody just drinks a little and has a little fun and just drinks in moderation. Why are you trying to spoil the fun? You fuddy-duddy, you know, you stick in the mud. You don't want us to have fun and just have a little drink or have a little wine or just have a couple of beers. What's the big deal? Well, I'll tell you what the big deal is. One out of six Americans binge drink. Binge drink. I mean, drinking themselves to the point where if they do it fast enough, they could easily black out doing this. Four drinks in a woman. Five drinks in a man. It's happening to one out of six people in this country. And you say, yeah, but we're in a Baptist church. You know, but I'll submit to you, I don't know how many people are here this morning, approximately 250 people that are here this morning. I guarantee you that there's people in here that drink. And you know what? There are pastors out there that are too naive and they think, oh, nobody in my church would ever drink. Nobody in my church would ever smoke. Nobody in my church would ever do drugs or look at pornography or gamble or do, you know, buy lotto tickets or do stupid things. You know, that's what they think because everybody's here in their Sunday best. But let me tell you something. There are people in every church that are guilty of these sins. And this is why we need to preach on these things. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There are people here that are backslidden. There are people here that are here not because they want to be here, but because they were brought here by a wife or a husband or by parents that have dragged them in here. And they're sitting here and kind of, you know, listening to this. Hey, there are people in this room who need to hear it. And by the way, the children and the young people and the teenagers here, even if this isn't something they're into, good. Because an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We need this kind of preaching. Don't tell me we don't need more sermons on alcohol when one out of six Americans are binge drinking. Killing 80,000 people a year in the process through binge drinking. This needs to be preached. It needs to be taught. It needs to be thundered forth. If every child grew up hearing this sermon, they would have a healthy fear of alcohol, a healthy fear of God, a fear of the sin, a sin and its consequences. This is what we need today. We don't need another pastor to get up and explain to us why social drinking's fine. We don't need another pastor to get up and go soft on alcohol. We don't need another pastor where when we visit his home, we see the expensive Bed Bath & Beyond accoutrements on his counter just for keeping his wine chilled at the exact temperature. So you can slosh it around and be all snooty and all sophisticated. We need pastors to put off their fancy garb and their fancy drinks and their fancy little sophisticated ways and put on some sackcloth and weep for America and the drunkenness. 1 in 6 adults in the United States binge drink, usually 4 times a month. And they consume an average of 8 drinks per occasion. So binge drinking by definition is in excess of 4 to 5, depending on whether you're male or female. And this could be any type of drink. And 1 in 6 are above that 4 to 5 level, but the average is 8. That means there are people that are drinking more than 8. That means there are people that are drinking 9 or 10 to make up for the people that are drinking 6 or 7. 8 drinks. It's a major problem today. Listen to this. While binge drinking is more common among those with household incomes, listen to this, in excess of $75,000. Did you hear that? Binge drinking is more common among those with household incomes in excess of $75,000. These aren't derelicts. These aren't homeless people. These aren't poor people getting off work and cashing their paycheck down at the check cashing place and going and buying a 24-pack of whatever. The binge drinking is happening even more often with people who make more than 75 grand a year because they've got their snooty little wine cask and their little fancy wine menu because they think that somehow they can dress it up and make it look nice when in reality it's just as trashy as when the trailer trash minimum wage guy comes home with a six pack in each hand. It's no, you what? Oh, but you're pouring it out of a fancy bottle. It has a French name. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
You're just as likely to, you're more likely to black out with the fancy stuff because it has a higher concentration of alcohol. You know, the fancy, what are the fancy drinks? The fancy drink, besides wine? Scotch, cognac, gin. I thought I heard a rap artist talking about gin, so that might be a trashier, on the trashier side. I don't know. I don't want to, I remember Crown Royal, I've seen the advertisements, right? And they make it look so pretty and clean and glamorous. You know what it is? It's a bunch of vomit and sick. This is what drinking is. It's being on the floor of a public bathroom with your head in a toilet. Why don't they put that on the sign? Crown Royal. Right? That's the true story. In a dirty public restroom.
Yeah.
But on TV, all the toilets are clean. But in the Bible, it said that when they're drunk, there's no place clean. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7. You're in chapter 5. Might as well flip over to 28, verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink that are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. Even the preachers are getting drunk, he said. They're swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness so that there's no place clean. No place clean. Let me finish this article that I was reading. Those in excess of $75,000 are the ones who did the most binge drinking. And it says here also, somewhat surprisingly, while binge drinking is most common amongst 18 to 34-year-olds, when people who are over 65 years old binge drink, they do it more often. They do it more frequently. They do it even 65-year-olds are doing this. Dr. Robert Brewer, alcohol program lead for the National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, noted that many binge drinkers are college students. Wow. Who funded that study? Now, you know, I mean, that must have been the most groundbreaking discovery since, you know, whatever. I mean, that's just amazing. Move over, Madame Curie. You know, we have a serious discovery here. College students are the ones binge drinking. You're kidding. You send your kids down to Devil State and Satan U, they're probably going to be binge drinking by the end of it. Many of the binge drinkers are college students, high school students. Even out at the public school system, even in high school, they're binge drinking. Active military. Who's been in the military? There's no drinking, right? Not a lot of alcohol consumed in the military. And also, this one kind of blew me away. You know, college students, duh. High school students, duh. Active military, duh. And medical students. What in the world? I mean, you'd think that medical students, they're learning about the liver. You know, they're learning about the hippocampus. And they're the ones just binge drinking. Unbelievable. I guess their motto is going to be, do as I say, not as I do, when they open their practice. According to the report, more than half of the alcohol adults drink is consumed while binge drinking. Did you hear that? More than half of alcohol consumed is done so while binge. Oh, but everybody's just doing it in moderation. No, this is where alcohol takes most people into binge drinking, the vast majority of the time. More than 90% of the alcohol young people drink is while binge drinking. Did you hear that? 90% of alcohol that goes into the bodies of young people is during a binge. This is the norm, friend. This is normal drinking amongst young people. Normal drinking is binge drinking. That's why, young people, you shouldn't drink. Binge drinking, among other things, can lead to unplanned pregnancy, the spread of STDs, SIDS, and of course, alcohol dependence. Excessive alcohol consumption in men increases the risk of cancer of the mouth, throat, esophagus, liver, and colon. Women are more vulnerable to brain damage, heart damage, and liver damage. How would you like to be brain damaged, ladies? This bud's for you. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. The Bible says wine is a mocker. Yep. What does it mean to be a mocker? A mocker is one that makes a fool out of you, that makes an idiot out of you. How would you like to be publicly mocked? How would you like to be publicly ridiculed? How would you like to be humiliated in front of everyone? Alcohol will do that for you because wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. How would you like to go into a fit of rage where you break noses and get your nose broken and you go out and you fight and you stab and you get stabbed? Wine will do that for you. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, meaning that wine will get you through the back door. It doesn't just come right out and advertise you. I'm going to make you a total idiot. I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to cost you $10,000 when you get a DUI. I'm going to cause you to spend 10 days in jail and lose your job. I'm going to cause your wife to leave you. I'm going to cause your husband to leave you. I'm going to cause you to commit adultery with strangers. I'm going to cause you to make a complete idiot of yourself, and someone's going to film it on their cell phone and put it on YouTube. And you're going to be humiliated and ridiculed and mocked and despised and hated of everyone around you. No, no, no. It'll deceive you and tell you it's fun.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's for people that are good people, people who know how to have a good time, and they look good, and they're beautiful and handsome. And it'll give you big muscles and ripped abs. I mean, the thing is, it's a practically a protein shake. It's practically according to these ads, it's practically a green smoothie, the way it's portrayed. But wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And that means you, whosoever. Yeah. If you're deceived by it, you're not wise.
Amen.
Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
The guy who drinks is not wise. I wonder how many soul-winning drunks there are.
I mean, if soul winning makes you wise and drinking makes you stupid, you know, it seems to me that probably people who drink are probably not into soul winning. Or they're probably not good at soul winning. They're probably not effective at soul winning. I'll bet you that their fruit is not a tree of life. I'll bet you that the people who were at the Boston soul winning marathon yesterday, winning 141 people to Christ, I'll bet you that those 110 people didn't go to the bar afterward and get a Samuel Adams Boston Lager while they're in Boston. No, they didn't. They went to Chipotle. They went to, you know, they went to other, you know, places and got clam chowder and fish and chips, and they drank water. They drank pineapple juice. They drank a soda pop. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That was the first verse that I learned about alcohol. I learned that verse about the time I learned how to read. Right around the time I learned how to read, before I was even saved, I knew this verse by heart. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Because in the back of my parents' Bible, it was written in my mom's Bible. It was written in my dad's Bible. It was A through Z, topical Bible verses on various subjects. A was for alcohol. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Proverbs 23 and the verse numbers there. And I sat and looked at my parents' Bible as a small child. And I looked at that and I said, I'm going to look up these verses about these different subjects. I saw the verse on alcohol. I looked up Proverbs 20, verse 1, and I committed it to memory. And would to God that every child in America, that their parents would teach them Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1.
Amen.
And that every child in this church house would have this verse ringing in their ears for the rest of their life. Last, this is the last thing, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9, do not drink wine. That's good advice right there, just that phrase. That's a great title for a sermon. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Now, why not drink when you go to church? Why not come to church drinking? Of course, there are churches today that serve alcohol. God's talking about killing people. Don't go in the congregation and drink, lest you die. It shall, but you Baptists, you know, with your grape juice. Well, we're trying to stay alive here.
Amen.
It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. I submit to you that if you drink alcohol in any quantity, your ability to discern between that which is holy and unholy is reduced.
Yep. Yep.
And you start not knowing the difference between clean and unclean. Yep. That goes for the toilet bowl in the dirty public restroom. Doesn't seem as dirty. But it also goes for not just a physical unclean, but that which is spiritually unclean. When the Bible uses the word uncleanness, it's referring to fornication. Look up the word uncleanness. It's often referring to adultery and fornication. You know what? You're not going to discern that either. And when you're blacked out, you're going to discern nothing. And when you're passed out, you're going to discern nothing. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord, and the warnings that are found therein. Lord, help us all to heed this warning and to realize the lack of wisdom involved in drinking wine and strong drink, Lord, what we call today wine, Lord. It's wicked. And Father, I pray that no child or no adult in this room would ever drink at all, but Lord, especially that they would never drink to the point where they would actually black out, Lord, or pass out. Lord, help us all to be protected from the evils of alcohol, and help us not to be deceived by the smooth Madison Avenue advertising that makes it look good, Lord. Help us to believe your word on this subject. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.